That's Hebrews chapter 11. I mentioned earlier that faith is the subject of faith is on my mind tonight, and in a big way. And I guess if I were going to title this, and the point that I hope to get to tonight is that faith pleases God. Our faith pleases God. I should say our faith pleases God. So having said that, many of you recognize Hebrews 11 as being a faith chapter in the Bible. It seems like a wonderful place to start a subject like this. I think it could be that I develop a series. The Lord's really been moving in my heart and mind concerning this subject of faith. And if the Lord continues to lead, I set a series, maybe one of those 4, 5, 6 week series on faith. And it's a worthy topic, don't you think? The consideration of faith. And I was trying to decide how to open the book of faith and begin to talk about it and expound on it. This just seemed like the place to be. Now, I'll give you some warning if you want to know. We'll reference a couple of places as we get to. I'm not going to rush this tonight. Maybe next Wednesday, if I don't finish tonight, I'll just pick it up and finish it next week, what have you. But we will end up if we move along quickly, we'll end up in Habakkuk. So that's one you might want some advance notice on before we try to jump into it. Habakkuk is right over there, right after, which one is it after? It's right before Haggai, and I want to say it's right after Nahum. Those two easy to find ones. You can just flip right back to Habakkuk from there. Habakkuk, and then there's Nahum, and I'm sorry, Habakkuk, Haggai, and then Zechariah. Zechariah is easier to find. So anyways, just to give you advance notice, and then we will be in Deuteronomy for just a little bit. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 7. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." And that's the verse I'm aiming at tonight. "For by it the elders obtained a good report." By what? By faith. It says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear." Thank God for that. Aren't you glad of that? None of us made this. I mean, what would we do with this thing? It says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." And of course, referencing that, verse 6 says, "But without faith it's impossible to please God." It's one of the reasons we know that we know something about Enoch. We know he was a man of faith. It tells us right here. It says, "It is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness," excuse me, "which is by faith." And of course, I've considered preaching on that verse on a Sunday morning message. You know, Noah was a type, and the ark and so forth, and what he's doing here was just an absolute type of Christ. Christ, in that he offered salvation to the world, also offers condemnation to those who reject him. By accepting one, we avoid the other. But if I reject the one, then I embrace the other. Christ, we either are saved by accepting him, or are condemned by rejecting him. And that was the same case with Noah and the ark. So this word faith, it is um, uh, It is in the Bible a lot. Did you know, and I only know this because I decided to find out how many times that word appears in the Bible. It appears 231 times. Did you know that? That's a lot of times. That's a lot of times for that word to appear. Out of those 231 times, only two times does it appear in the Old Testament. Can you imagine that? That means out of the 231 times, 229 times it shows up in the New Testament, two times in the Old Testament. This it really, once you start examining it, it really makes sense. The Old Testament is about God was more hands-on. He was more vocal. You remember, He spoke directly. And people just, they did what He said. They trusted Him or they didn't trust Him. They followed Him or they didn't follow Him. Really, when we get to the New Testament times, the Old Testament, the Law and the Prophets are written for them. And they study those things and read them. And they live much like we do, and that they would read it and have to choose, do I trust it and believe it and follow it or not? Does that make sense? So faith was more of a reality in the New Testament than it was in the Old Testament, understanding the word faith as it is. The idea of trusting God has been here from the beginning. It was a lack of faith. It was a lack of trusting God and following Him and into disobedience that led man into sin to start with. Just not trusting God. Satan cast doubt on the words of God. Right? He still does that today. When a person chooses to abandon the principles or the scripture and so forth and lay it aside and embrace an untruth and follow that, they are choosing to not trust God. Rejecting of scripture is to walk not in faith. That's a hard one to swallow, because most of us, we were raised in the world, right? And until we get saved, that's all we know. Even it doesn't matter how much we hear scripture, we don't know it until we get saved. We don't have that spiritual discernment. And so most of us spent some years learning to trust the worldly wisdom. But listen, when we follow worldly wisdom and rejection of the Word of God, it is a lack of faith. Faith is important. We can't live the Christian life without faith. I was interested in the two times that faith appears in the Old Testament. And one of them is in Deuteronomy chapter 32. And I'd like for you to turn with me there. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And this is the time, well, Israel has already been led out of Egypt. Now, they have been in the wilderness for 40 years. And when they first came out, they were up on Mount Sinai. Do you remember? And God gave them the law and all of that. And man, as quick as God's people were separated from Moses, they'd quit trusting God and build themselves golden calves. And right? Do you remember? They couldn't bring themselves to just trust God and what He said. So God gives them a law. And then He makes them promise to live by the law. And they promise over and over. As a matter of fact, Deuteronomy chapter 32 is after the 40-year experience where God did not let them come in. And after 40 years, they are looking at going into the promised land. Moses is going to die. He knows that God's not going to let him go in. And Moses has a song. And that's what this chapter is Moses' song. As a matter of fact, the verse before, it tells us, Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. So he had this long, lengthy song that he delivered to them. And it has to do with this lack of confidence that Israel, the children of Israel, have placed in God. Lack of trust. And by the time we get to verse 20, and that is where that word appears, the word faith. When we get to verse 20, he's built this case and reminded them, you have not had faith. You've not trusted God. You've not followed God. But I want you to hear, to me it's striking some of the things that are said and how it really compares to our culture today. And that is the reason I wanted to bring this up. Chapter 32, it says, it begins with a casual kind of approach, and then it goes. He gets right into it in a minute. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. He says, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, and the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. Amen. Hey, he's talking about God. He said, he is the rock. He is the rock. His word is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Now listen, that verse alone describes God very, in some ways, right? Some of the attributes of God, some things about God are located in that verse. With that verse alone, he has presented a reason to cast our dependence upon God. As God's people, he's leading up to a rebuke. He is telling them, this is the one who we're talking about. This is the God. It's what he's like. He's the rock. He's perfect. He's judgment. He's of truth. He's without iniquity. Just and right is he. And then he goes on and talks about the children of Israel. He says, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. Well, they are the children of Israel. But the way they are and the way they present themselves are not as the children of God. And he says, they are perverse and a perverse and crooked generation. He's speaking of those who died after the 40 years. Do you thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath, it doesn't say brought, it says hath bought thee? The children of Israel considered themselves to be a purchased possession of God. Is that a thought? Did you know that about the children of Israel? And it says, it says, is not thy father, I'm lost on my, where was I at? Am I in verse, is it verse 6? 6. Do you thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? And he says, hath he not made thee and established thee? He's given you identity. Made you who you are. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Listen to what he says in verse 9. Verse 9, he says, for the Lord's portion is his people. Do you get that? What God says about his people? Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He says the Lord's portion is his people. That verse, and not just in this study, that verse has always caused me to stop and ponder just what he's saying with that. The Lord's portion. Now we know that he is our portion. We even have a song, Jesus is my portion. You remember? He is. As a matter of fact, I even jotted down so I could present to you Psalm 16:5. Listen, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. Psalm 73:26, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 119:57, thou art my portion, O Lord. Psalm 142, verse 5, O Lord, I said, thou art my refuge and my portion. Lamentations 3:24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. What is the portion? It means something along the line of peculiar, set apart and different, something that's purely for my benefit. That's what God is for us, right? But according to this, that's what God says about His people, the children of Israel. They are His portion, peculiar to Him. They are people that are dear to God. That's what the children of Israel were. Those who rejected Him, they built their golden calf, right? You remember? And they made their idols, and later, even after this, they're going to build their high places and their filthy and disgusting groves and the dens of iniquity. All these things that they build to the false gods, replacing God with them. Yet He says, "My peculiar people, the ones I love, I've set them apart for Myself." Why would they do that? Because, beloved, their belief in God has not ascended, has not taken them to the place where they also have confidence in God. What am I saying? That word faith, if you were to look it up in the dictionary, if you look up the word faith, it's almost in the dictionary synonymous with the word belief. Yet we know that's not a good scriptural definition, because James tells us that faith without works is dead, meaning mere belief doesn't get me there. Faith is a belief that pushes or pulls or however it moves me to a place of action. How does it do that? That's because faith is not just mere belief. It is taking belief and trust and bringing them together. If I have faith in someone, that means my belief has combined with my trust. Trust meaning confidence. I have confidence in them. Hey, listen. This first time that it's mentioned in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy, it comes in the midst. If we follow this, and we can, I will read a little bit more to you in a minute. But it comes to the place where He is revealing to the children of Israel as He is about to make them into a mighty nation. And He is rebuking them for a lack of faith. The second time we see the word faith in the Old Testament is when he has brought their mighty nation to an end. It's in 607 to 605 B.C. Who knows what happened that year, 605 B.C.? That was the year of the Babylonian captivity. That prophecy in Habakkuk. That's when that falls. And He says, the just shall live by his faith. That's what He says. If you're going to be just, you're going to have to live by faith. But yet, you haven't been doing that. And that's where He goes with that. This business of faith is far more serious than just belief. Belief is ascending to the place of I accept everything I know about this person as fact. Yes, that's true. But there's a difference in that and placing my confidence in them. Hey, listen, the Old Testament says very little specifically with the word faith. It says a lot about belief and trust. A lot about confidence in God. It says a great deal. And when we come to the New Testament, I'm starting to get ahead of myself. Maybe I'm going to anyway. When we come to the New Testament, back in Hebrews, I want you to see something. Maybe we will finish it, because I just skipped about 10 minutes right there. I just want you to know. In Hebrews 11... the Bible tells us about faith, what it is, or at least a Bible description of, actually it tells us what faith does for us in that first verse. Because faith How can I make you know what I'm trying to say? You ever been, anybody here try to teach and you have something you just want to get across and you're just not sure the best way to do it? It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. You ever stop to think what that means? I've heard a lot of people quote that. When I was a younger Christian, I remember asking a preacher actually, "Oh, what does that mean?" It means that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Yeah, but what does that mean? What does it mean? The substance of things hoped for. This isn't a description of faith. It's a description of what faith does for us. Substance of things hoped for. Faith gives me, it makes something real that I cannot see. Substance of things hoped for. I believe heaven is real. But my belief goes beyond mere belief. I've ascended to the place that I've accepted it as fact. I know it's there. But it goes beyond just accepting it as fact. I'm banking everything on it. I really am. I mean, I not only believe it's there, I have confidence that I'm going. I mean, I'm going. I know I'm going. Why do I know I'm going? Because when I close my eyes and pray, here's another one for you. We heard some preaching a year ago at the men's advance. Some of the best preaching I've ever heard on praying. Man. This Pastor Nance, he preached on going into the holiest of all. A couple of guys here remember it. Beloved, when I bow my head and pray, I was doing it this morning. That's where I am. I believe I can just reach out and touch Him. I believe I'm there. In the Spirit, that's where we are. How do you know? Well, faith does this for me. It's more than just belief. I have trust. I have confidence. I know that it's there. Why do I know it's there? Well, because I have faith. Well, you're talking in circles. Yeah, but listen. Faith makes it real. It's the substance of what I hope for. I hope for what's there. Not only do I hope for it, I know it's there. It's the substance of it, the reality of it. You ever been in a nursing home? We were talking about that a little bit earlier. I used to go in those places all the time and working it as a ministry. But you ever see somebody die a slow, agonizing death that's going to heaven? I'm telling you, I've seen them look. I've seen them look up. And smile and reach. You ever see that? I've seen them do it. Save people reaching for what's there. Has anyone here ever seen that? I've seen it. You're going to tell me there's nothing out there? I don't believe you. I have faith. I have confidence. I've also worked those nursing homes enough to be around somebody who's lost. I've been trying to lead to the Lord and would not accept Christ as Savior. You don't want to be there when they die those slow deaths where they fade in and out. I've seen them look at the foot of their bed with terror, kicking away, trying to get back up the bed to get away from what they see coming. I've heard them shriek as if they were in pain. And the staff just trying to, not knowing, I've seen that. As if they're trying to get away from what's coming up the bed at them. A day or so later, they're dying. And they die. But yet I'm standing there knowing they've never yet accepted Christ as Savior. Hey, listen, hell is real.
Right.
Why do I know it's real? Well, I not only believe it's there. I have faith. And what I know, I have confidence to go with it. It adds substance to what I believe. Substance. Faith makes it real. But not only does it make it real, it says the evidence of things not seen.
Well, the only reason it seems real to you is because you believe it. Well, the only reason it don't seem real to you is because you don't believe it.
You ever try to talk rationally about evolution? Come on. It's the most ridiculous stuff you ever heard in your life. You've got to believe in UFOs to believe some of this stuff. You have to believe that aliens are abducting people to believe some of this stuff is real. You got to think X-Files is real. All right, nobody thinks that. Hey, listen to me. You got to believe some pretty kooky stuff. What we believe was working 2,000 years before they even thought about UFOs. Well, the evidence of things not seen. My faith, it's beyond belief. It provides me with the evidence that I need. I sat in my office less than a week ago. No, 2 weeks ago. And I was talking with Farrell. Have y'all met Farrell? Anybody here met Farrell to know who he is? Sit back there about where Jay and Julia are sitting now. They've been sitting there for about 2 weeks on Sunday morning. He just showed up at our door. He says, "Hey, can you tell me how to have peace with God?" Let's put him on the prayer list. His name is Farrell. I intend to put him on there earlier tonight. But Farrell, he just wanted to know how to have peace with God. So I told him. Now, Farrell is an example of somebody who believes but doesn't have faith. Okay? Farrell, I sat down and I shared the gospel with him because he wanted to know. And I shared it with him. And when I got done, he says, Yeah, you know, I know you're right. He says, "I've heard it before." He says, I just don't think that's what I need. I said, "No, it's what you need if what you said about yourself is true." "Yeah, but," excuse me, he said a couple of things I wouldn't reveal to you, but he said, and I interrupted him, I said, "You just don't trust it, do you?" Well, I wouldn't say I don't trust it, but then, and he'd go and describe why he doesn't trust what it says. I said, "You're telling me you don't trust it. What I'm telling you is it's the Bible. It's the Bible. The Bible is the truth, and you can trust it, beloved. You can trust it. You can live your family life according to it and trust it." You say, "Listen, would you really hang the fate of your family on living out the Word of God?" Beloved, if it don't work, I've got real issues. Because that's all I'm doing right now. There are things in my family's life, all we have to hang it on is Scripture. But you know what? It's the evidence of things I've seen. I mean, I've gone beyond belief with this. I have confidence in it. Do you know what that'll cause you to do? It'll cause you to take steps. It'll cause you to do stuff. If you go beyond belief, ascend to the place of having confidence in what it says. The reason I keep saying what it says, I am going to go ahead and get to this. It says in verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now you remember, this is the book of Hebrews. He's talking to folk who were Hebrew descent. They are obviously Christian, but they have the background of Judaism and all there, and all these things have to be explained to them. With that in mind, he knows that they know the stories he's about to tell them. Okay, so he says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report," here in Hebrews 11, verse 2. It says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." Why would he say that? Because you won't find the word faith around Noah's name. You won't find it around Abel's name. You won't find it where Enoch is listed in the Old Testament. And you won't find it it's not with Abraham either. Yet, he says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." He's saying they had faith. What he's saying about the people that he names in this chapter is that they not only believed, they had confidence in what they believe. I'm going to ask you tonight, and that is the direction that I'm headed with this. You say you believe. Did you know that James, that same book that we were in just a minute ago, James says that the devils, they believe with fear and trembling. It says that. Did you know that belief is not enough to live a victorious Christian life? It's just not enough. It must be that you come to the place that your belief ascends to the place of being able to trust God for what He says. I'll read a little bit further for you so you know. There's a little bit that you might want to know. It says, through faith we understand. Why would He say that? Through faith we understand. Because He's describing the faith of the Old Testament saints. But what evidence does He have to go by concerning the Old Testament saints? All He has at this point is what is already in place of the Word of God. All He has is the Word of God. By faith, we understand. In the New Testament, God's not going to show up in a whirlwind and speak out of it. He's not going to speak to us out of a bush. He doesn't do that. Say, how do I know He doesn't do that? Well, He speaks to us through the Word of God. Hey, by faith, we understand. How do we understand? Everything that He lists, as a matter of fact, the first seven, this is the way I've divided this chapter, as a matter of fact, the first seven verses deal with those things that happen before the flood. Did you know that those who follow Judeo-Christian writings are the only ones that have access to that history? The only ones who have history before the flood were the Jewish people. He says, by faith, we understand. We understand. My question for you is this. It should be fairly obvious concerning faith. Has your belief yet ascended to the place that it gives you total confidence in the Word of God? Let me ask you this. By faith, do you understand? I mean, by faith, can you really take this book and apply it to your life and just trust it? I don't mean trust what the preacher says. I mean, trust the book. By faith, we understand. It's all we have. Not just belief, but belief that is accompanied with confidence in the Word of God. Do you have that? Living by faith in Jesus above. You know, the only access we have to information about Him, besides what the world tells us, it's the Word of God. Living by faith. We were talking about living by faith up here in missions. Listen, outside of this book, we have no understanding. By faith, we understand. I'll challenge you tonight. I'll give you a head start, Miss Anita. I'm going to challenge you tonight. If you say no, that could be me. It could be that I just believe, but I've not yet come to the place of trusting God for what it says. Did you know that He can be trusted? But for it to be, for what He says to be the substance of things hoped for and the evidence that I need, for it to be like that, I have to get a confidence to accompany my belief. I have to have faith. We need faith. Can't live the Christian life without it. I will stand to our feet. Go and begin playing, Miss Anita. Stand to our feet. Listen, I'm going to ask you tonight. Is that you? We've talked about faith and trust and confidence. Is that you? Has God spoken your heart tonight? Listen, the altar is open for a brief time. Has God spoken your heart? There's a couple already moving and coming. Why don't you join them, make your way to the aisle, and come down to this old-fashioned altar and pray. let God have His way with you. All of us believe. There's no doubt about it. It's interesting how in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, God's people, there's evidence that they did not trust Him. They did not have faith. In the New Testament, the only way you can walk with God is by faith. Things are different now. A few have come. In a moment I'm going to pray, and in time it'll be over. But the opportunity right now is still here to respond. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. Thank You, Lord, for Your mercy and for Your grace. Lord, we thank You for the way You love us and take care of us. Lord, we thank You for